You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia, the Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Day WA. Every morning, I must admit, I go down to my local coffee shop and collect the newspapers. Like, they have a two or three on display there, the West Australian, the Financial Review, and the Australian. And I had a look at the West today, and I thought, well, there's nothing much in the West apart from, you know, there's still the wash-up on Harley Reid and what's happening with the Eagles and what's happening with the Dockers. There was a couple of other little stories, well, I think one on racing and one a bit about the Glory after, you know, their poor performance at the weekend. But there was nothing really of substance. So then I've picked up the Australian newspaper, and on the back page, there's this really strong story about rugby. Now, it was the back page of the Australian newspaper. There wasn't two words written about it in the West, because what's happening is there almost is a civil war in rugby. A few days ago, Rugby Australia boss Phil Waugh asked for unity in the game. But there is this group that is plotting to oust the entire board at next Monday's annual general meeting. And I believe they've placed advertising in national newspapers calling for support. Now, the man that is one of the powerful figures in this so-called push to look at the current Rugby Australia board is a man that we know very well, Jeff Stook. He's the former chairman of Rugby WA. He was a director of Rugby WA in 1985 and was the chair from 1988 until 2011, as well as serving as chair of the Western Force from 2005 until 2011. Jeff joins us on the program now. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Hi, Peter. Good to hear you.
Tell us about what has been planned. Reportedly, there is a lot of angst within rugby circles, and as far as you're concerned and the group and the ticket that you've put together, there is no confidence that the game is going to progress from here on in. Can you take us through what is going to likely eventuate and you're hoping will eventuate at this annual general meeting on Monday?
Well, what's likely to eventuate and what we'd like to see eventuate is probably two different things, but to give you some background, for a number of years now, rugby in Australia has gone backwards, and this has been reflected probably best by the performance of our national team, but also our Super Rugby teams have also struggled. And over recent times, some of the decisions taken and some of the things that have been done have, what we believe, been less than appropriate and not in the interest of the game in Australia. So, like many people, you can have views, you can be complain and so forth, but we as a group felt that something needs to be done. And the first thing we felt was there needed to be a reset of Australian rugby, its priorities and how the game was managed. And to do that, there need to be massive changes at board level. Now, only recently, the previous chair got rolled on the basis of some complaints from some of the member unions. And his colleagues rolled him, so he then resigned. Now, our issue is that he was simply one person on that board, and all these decisions they say were his were in fact endorsed by his board. So the board was responsible for all those things. The other thing that seems to be forgotten, he as the chairman was the guy, when he came on board, he managed to secure a sponsor, a major sponsor, which we'd lost when Qantas walked. He also managed to secure a broadcaster. Foxtel had not continued their arrangement with the previous administration of Rugby Australia. So something had to happen, and we got together and felt, well, that's the board is the first thing to go, but it's not about us. So our real mandate is to get the member unions or the voting members of Australian rugby to take control of the agenda and for them to decide who they want at the helm, because right now I don't believe many of them want the people they have there now. So all the work we've done in recent times has been to provide detailed information about why things are like they are, and ask them to, when they get to the opportunity at the general meeting, to firstly not re-elect three directors up for re-election, but ideally, if that was to happen, then maybe the whole board would go and there could be a complete reset. But in the first instance, the three directors that were there as part of the group that oversaw the game go downhill over the last few years, they'll not be re-elected. So that's what we're aiming to do. As you would expect, over a recent week or so, Rugby Australia board members and others have been on a massive charm offensive, knocking on the doors and visiting all the member unions and super teams, trying to garner their support to support their candidates. There are also some other issues regarding the governance of the game. Like many corporates, they have a nominations committee that determines who the board members will be put forward for election. But when they're put forward for election, you don't get a choice. It's a take it or leave it. So the nominees that are put up, they have to get a two-thirds majority of those voting members and they get elected, but you don't get a choice. They decide. So effectively what's happening now is that the rugby board itself, in reality, determines who they want with them.
So just having a look, you've set this group up called the Support Overdue Australian Rugby Reform Group. And as we mentioned, you're looking at a vote of no confidence in the entire Rugby Australia board on Monday. Now, you'll need seven.
That's the second issue, really.
Yeah.
The first issue is whether or not they re-elect the three that are up for re-election.
Yeah. So you'll need what? 50% of the voting members to go with you on this?
Well, no. With the three up for re-election, all board members have to get 66%.
Right.
So it'd be one-third voted against them, they don't get up.
Okay. So
as far as the vote of no confidence goes, you require the 50%.
Okay. So with your group, the Support Overdue Australian Reform Group, there's yourself, and I believe there's some other big names in rugby that are supporting you.
Well, they are. The group itself, it's got a core of about half a dozen people, but separate to all of this, I was asked in 2020 to chair an organisation called the National Technical Advisory Committee for Australian Rugby. And this was a committee set up quite specifically to look at the coaching, the technical development and the pathways in our game because we were struggling on field. So that group included Nick Farr-Jones, Bob Dwyer, former Wallaby coach, Roger Gould, Wallaby fullback, Grand Slam player, Dick Marks, Barry Honan, and Barry Honan was a Wallaby, Dick Marks was a former national director and a Wallaby, and Wayne Erickson, who was international referee. So for 3 years, we have worked fairly hard and put up recommendation after recommendation to make changes, and basically it's all been remember the dead bat.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 weeks ago, all of us had resigned. I, as the chair, resigned, and everyone else has gone too.
You were saying and quoted in the article I read this morning that when you're running things at the Western Force in 2016, super teams received $4.6 million in funding each year. Now they're getting $3.8 million, all while costs have gone up. And you're saying it's a recipe for teams and the competition to go broke.
Correct. Well, the financial model for super teams, given the funding they get from the Australian rugby, doesn't work. They'll all go broke. Just to give you an idea, the funding from the Australian Rugby Union, it's not as if it's a grant as such. It's the super team's share of broadcasting plus compensation for developing Wallabies and warehousing Wallabies. Because the Wallabies may only play half a dozen games in a year. So most of their rugby is played at the Super Rugby level. So that's what we were getting back in 2000, it was 2006, not 2016. There was an error there. It was 2006 when we set the team up here, and we got 4.6 million. Last year, they got 3.8. So it highlights to you that these financial models just don't work. The crowds are down, of course. Sponsorship is harder to get. So unless they review all of their finances and do a total cut of all the non-essential items and activities and functions, they'll never be viable. So to me, the priorities must be to get the community game and your super teams being financially viable. And then that should, if they're strong, that will lead on to, I believe, a successful Wallaby team.
So,
the other thing is what... Yeah, sorry.
No, go, Jeff.
The other thing I should mention is that what's happened in recent times, a lot of people have said, I'll give these guys a go. You know, they were all there before. They were in key positions before. But what we've seen to date is, and I've expressed it in these terms, they're spending millions of dollars currently on the roof while they're allowing the house and the foundations to crumble.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean by that, they're putting new Wallaby coach, new high performance director, assistant coaches, you name it, all at the top end. But at the bottom end, where you're feeding your players from the community game through your super teams, it's underfunded, under-resourced. The quality of the coaching isn't what it should be. We'll call it coaching education. The pathways aren't appropriate. We've got kids being put into academies and then not playing any club rugby, so they're not getting the hard yards that players of the past used to get when they developed into internationals.
So finally, Jeff, how confident are you, if you are confident, that you'll get your way and your group, the Rugby Reform Group, will get their way at the AGM on Monday?
I suppose it could be considered a long shot. But keeping in mind that we're not after positions ourselves, we've put up what could be done, and that is that if they remove the board, they put an interim board in for 12 months with one representative of New South Wales, one from Queensland, one from the other states, one from the super teams, and two others selected by those four to look at a total review of the game, both on-field and off-field. And so we have offered them a way forward. Whether or not they embrace it, I don't know. As I said earlier, there's a lot of charm offensive around right now and trying to win the hearts and minds and promising different things. So who knows how it will go. But our view is, well, if they don't take the advice and do that, it's on the head of the voting members for the game doesn't go any further.
Good on you, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time. We'll watch it very closely on Monday, and we could very well be in touch with you again next week. Thanks for your time this evening.
Thanks, Peter. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. Good on you. That's the good oil on the rugby fight at the moment for Cobram Estate, Premier Australian Extra Virgin Olive Oil. And it's just interesting, while I was talking to Jeff, details came out regarding the Wallabies versus South Africa match, which is happening here at Optus Stadium on Saturday the 17th of August. And pre-sale for the tickets happen tomorrow from 10 a.m. right through until Wednesday, the 1st of May. Pre-sale tickets for the Wallabies against South Africa and the general public sale for tickets are from Wednesday, the 1st of May at 1 p.m. So it's a Wallabies against a Springbok. Thanks to Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. It's going to be a bit of a bum fight, let me tell you, at Rugby Australia's annual general meeting on Monday. Just before I go, Tyre Power's power-up sale is now on. Just a couple of other bits and pieces in sport that have been happening, just to bring you up to date. Mitch Marsh, the T20 World Cup campaign of likely Australian captain Mitch Marsh, is not expected to be impacted by the hamstring injury that is taking a little longer to heal. And basically, it's ended his IPL campaign. Now, Marsh won't return to India for the remainder of the competition as he completed his recovery here in Perth, having suffered that slight tear in his right hamstring after playing just four games for the Delhi Capitals. He flew back to Perth on April the 12th to consult Cricket Australia's medical staff, and a decision on his possible return to the IPL was delayed at the time to give him adequate time to recover before being reassessed. But with Delhi have been advised that he won't be returning to the IPL, and they'll save him for the T20 World Cup. So that's the latest there on Mitch Marsh. All thanks to Tyre Power. Visit your local Tyre Power store today for a free tyre safety inspection. There are over 50 stores across WA. Not forgetting tomorrow, Sports Day WA between 2 and 3, leading into the run home with Hayes and Mardo. Thanks to Connor. Thanks to Jimmy. And tomorrow we'll preview the LIV Golf Tournament in Adelaide, and we'll also preview a big Anzac Day match in the Waffle.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.